sunshine, little Uber, leave us.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with, yes, Sir Lance.
Good evening.
Good evening, Lance. Lance Swaggart, our favorite gardener. How are you?
Oh, not bad.
Happy New Year.
It's a new year. And
happy 2019.
Yeah, I figured out not to write 18.
Not to what?
Write 18 on the check.
Oh, right. You're already there? Good for you. Yeah, pretty exciting, 2019, and the weather has been exciting this year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot different than last year.
Yeah, lots of it's cold, and we got snow.
We've got snow piled up here in the North Fork.
Mm-hmm. Well, I drove all the way to Montrose. It's snow on the ground all the way.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Yay.
Delta has snow.
Good. We like hearing that, and we took a little shut down for 2 weeks, but mm-hmm. we're short-lived. We're back. So it's good to be here because a lot of exciting stuff happening, mm-hmm. and you're kind of already thinking about the gardening season for 2019.
Yeah,
feeling
yeah.
pressure? Are you feeling pressure?
Oh, yes. I mentioned that the other day, didn't I? Yeah. My mind was wandering.
Right. It's only, what, the 8th of January.
Yes.
So hold it back.
Yeah. Well, your mind starts going of all the little details.
Yeah.
And especially if you hadn't finished those details in the fall. Because
right.
it started snowing and raining. So
right.
I was like, oh, ground was – I didn't even get all my ground turned.
You
I mean,
didn't.
A small spot.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Where it started freezing too fast.
Yeah. Frozen ground is real hard than mm-hmm. hard, dry ground.
So you have a lot of winter projects going or carrying over. And we're going to talk about that. And mm-hmm. Jeff's here to put your call through. 970-527-4868. 1-866 KVNF now. You can email us at worm at kvnf.org or just worm at kvnf.org.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one of those things that's carried over from last year's season is your cleaning of seed and grain.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
The grain, I did get all the Sonoran white wheat.
Uh-huh.
And I did that with my feet. And I put sheets down, and I just roll it.
Did the tango or did the
– Yeah, most people just stomp on it. But if you roll uh-huh. it sideways, it comes right off. And I was also excited. You know, it really dried out a long time because I still had it on the bunches, and I had it stored in the house. And it dried so much that it just came right off the seed stalks.
So leaving it on the stalk was a good thing?
I think it was a good thing. For the amount of time. And also, mm-hmm. people don't realize that the longer you leave it on the stalk, the more nutritious it gets.
Oh, okay.
Because that those stalks drying, they, you know, out completely. So they actually, in old style cultures, they didn't clean all the grain out at once. They only threshed it and cleaned it as they needed it. So they stored it on the stalk in their barns or
sure.
cellars or wherever they did that were dry.
Interesting.
So it's
kind of that whole food thing.
Yeah. So, you just left them like that.
Mm-hmm. So then Sonoran white wheat, stomped mm-hmm. that out. And what else do you have?
Well, I stomped it out and then I screened it with a quarter inch screen. And then I winnowed it. And then I had these seed cleaning screens, different sizes. And I put it through a bigger one.
Uh-huh.
And got some of the more big stuff that you can't blow out because sometimes it's, you know, with winnowing. And then I put it through the smaller screen, and that got some real small stuff that didn't blow out.
Wow, so you really...
Yeah, so it was fun. It went really fast, considering.
It did.
Yeah, the longest thing was, of course, threshing with my feet.
Mm-hmm.
And
what was your yield on that? What
5 gallons of clean grain out of 250 square feet of planting.
Wow, 5 gallons.
Yeah.
And you're going to put Sonoran white wheat in the ground again next year?
No, that will last me 3 or 4 years.
3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, the grain that I got planted, I planted spelt in the fall. That's a winter grain.
Okay.
And then I'm going to plant kamut in the spring. And then I'll plant amaranth and probably popcorn.
Okay. Did you do popcorn last year?
No, I did.
You took a year off from that?
Popcorn is every other year or so.
Okay.
I think It was blue corn. I grew blue corn.
Oh, nice. And what was your outcome on that one? I don't remember the...
Because that's another one of the things I did this winter, is I finally took it all down after hanging it up. I hang it with the husk on it, but I've pulled the husk back.
Okay.
And I tie it. There's a, because if you take the husk off, you have nothing to tie it on to hang it.
Right.
So you got to have the...
A slippery corn cob.
Yeah, and stuff. So anyways, I think I got about 6 or 7 gallons of...
Blue corn. Mm-hmm.
And plus, I saved another 50 or 60 ears for seed.
Wow. So that's still, that's
still sitting in, it's my winter decoration. I have it on the windows.
Yeah, that's gorgeous.
You know, in the house.
Nice. And I was going to ask you, what do you do with the Sonoran white wheat, other than saving it for seed? Do you use that for bread?
I'll mix it in my breads. I'll mix it. I make a crack grain cereal out of all the grain, so that has wheat and rye and spelt and Tibetan barley and sorghum and millet, a pearl millet, oats. I'm probably yellow
nice
flint
variety.
Corn and wheat. The white wheat will go in there, and then I'll use it bread, and then it's a soft wheat, so you could use it for pastries and that kind of stuff.
Oh, yummy!
Yeah,
nice. And spelt, kind of an all-around good grain to plant.
Yeah, it's actually a type of wheat.
It's a type of wheat, okay.
Yeah, and if you have a little gluten intolerance, mm-hmm. then you can eat spelt. But if you really have a bad gluten intolerance, you cannot eat spelt.
No. Yeah, just a slight one, which is helpful.
But it has lighter gluten, mm-hmm. so it can be used also for wheat and pastries.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And amaranth, what a beautiful plant that is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it will get, sometimes it gets 6-7 feet tall.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And then you're going to dry that out and you use that for baking? Or
that goes strictly in my bread.
Okay. Strictly in bread.
And you can, I haven't worked it out yet, but you can actually pop it. But you have to use a dry skillet.
Like a popcorn.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And stuff. And I just have it.
Oh, interesting.
Every time I do it, I burn it. So I need to put the temperature down.
Yeah, figure out what
And you
the...
just do it on a cast iron skillet.
Oh, interesting.
And you can do it that way. But I mainly put it in bread. I put a half a cup in. Every time I make my bread batch for two loaves, I put a half a cup of amaranth in there.
And what would you say is the flavor of that? Is it nutty or?
Well, some people say nutty. Uh-huh. And if you get some that's not so good, it's bitter.
It's bitter.
Yeah. And you actually can cook it just like rice.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it would be more like a gruel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So kind of a porridge like gruel maybe popcorning it if you can get that temperature just right kind of thing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it's fun, and it's actually a very – you wouldn't think of it being so small that it's actually easy to clean. You know, you just stomp on those seed heads. The seeds just fall right out, and then you run it through screens. And at the very end, after it's gone through – the very end, I put it through a window screen. And then that's when I winnow it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, beautiful plant. You mentioned it getting rather large.
Mm-hmm.
What about water? What is the water requirement?
I think 20, 30 years ago, Riddell Gardening, Organic Gardening, they were doing tremendous studies on it. And the reason why they wanted people to grow it is that it didn't need good soil and it didn't need much water, and you'd still get production.
Okay.
If you water it, it does better.
Mm-hmm.
And I never fertilize any of my greens.
So pretty easy one to grow in this climate.
In this climate. And I'll plant it relatively thick because it's small seeds, and I'll thin. And those thinnings are very good to eat.
Oh, so
there's actually,
nice little salad type of thing.
And amaranth, there are actually amaranths that are grown for the greens, not the grain.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A lot of variety of amaranth, you're saying.
Yeah, I have mine is Mono de Oro. It's a golden brown. Mm-hmm. And then there's this tan one that you see. And there's probably some blacks and there's some reds and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And you have a pretty good supply of amaranth seed. What, in general, how many years would you say?
I have, every time I grow a crop out, I put a quarter seed aside. So a quarter amaranth seeds, probably thousands of seeds. But I probably have another 2 gallons in the house.
Wow.
That I'm actually eating.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm really excited, Lance. We're going to talk about seed saving a little bit. I'm going to give the phone numbers 970-527-4868, 1-866 KVNF now. But a lot of good stuff coming up on the show about seed saving over the next month, a couple months. And just talking about how much yield you have plus how much food you have is amazing to me and one of the benefits of seed saving.
Yeah. Well, seed saving, it does a couple things. First of all, the seed, the plant, gets acclimated to your area.
Yeah, I think that's one of the coolest things.
You know, I remember one of the other growers here, she asked me, because she couldn't sell her carrots. And she goes, do you grow your own seed? And I say yes. And they're that much better. And I'm not trying to brag. That's just simply what happens.
Sure.
They get acclimated.
That's really cool.
And the other thing that sort of happens, I have 7 varieties of carrots. And they're distinct varieties. And over the years, because of my soil conditions, they start looking the same. It's really pretty amazing.
It's magic.
Yeah, they're all looking the same. But wait a minute, those are Chardonnays, those are short and stubby. And those are Dambers, huge, you know. And then the Nantes are long.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that it's been happening over 15 years.
Uh-huh, you know? Interesting.
Yeah.
They say people look like their dog, too. No, that kind of stuff happens.
Yeah.
It's just fascinating. So that's one of the most interesting, fascinating things and one of the great benefits of seed saving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And homegrown seed will last probably at least 3 or 4 times longer than store-bought seed.
Oh, wow.
You know, because you're all doing it by hand. It's not beat up.
Right.
And we'll go more in depth of how you actually harvest the seed and clean it. But the main thing is it's not that old. Like, I have a book and it shows hedgerows of lettuce seed plants. They've knocked them down and they got them big hedgerows. How long are they sitting out there with rain and wind and maybe even snow? Same beets.
Right,
same with carrots. That's, you know, how long is it actually sitting out there before they've processed?
Yeah, right.
You know,
exactly.
And when I harvest mine, it's inside.
You kind of have control over the whole product there, which is really nice. Okay, so you'll want to stay tuned on Tuesday evenings on KVNF for As the Worm Turns. And it is a live call-in show. Lance is here to take your questions, or if you just want to chat about what you have going on for your winter project, 970-527-4868, 1-866 KVNF now. We're talking about cleaning seed and grain, and you've also been drying things.
Yeah. Yeah. I forgot about the cleaning seed.
Yeah.
I got a lot of seed, not a lot, but I've set some aside because we might be doing a seed workshop with the libraries.
Oh, great.
You know, so anyways, I still got seed to clean, and I've set them aside. So not much, just so we can show examples of it. So most of my seed has all been cleaned and threshed, cleaned, screens. Those screens that I got really work nicely.
Yeah, you've got a good system, Dan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to be learning a lot about seeds.
ongoing.
It is. And I think people are really getting into it. It's so exciting. You mentioned just in chatting about seed saving how what percentage is that of the food crop that's been?
Oh, I think it's 90% of the food crops that we've had are lost.
Because seed wasn't saved?
Seed wasn't saved, but it's big seed companies and hybriding everything.
Right, right. That's a lot of variety.
Yeah, a lot of variety gone.
Yeah, and I think that's what's exciting is bringing that back. Food is so exciting right now.
And, you know, I say I'm growing these carrots or these onions. Well, if I keep on growing them, even though they're named varieties, they're going to change a little bit. Because it's in my garden.
That's right.
You know, and like they have in Indonesia or the different areas where they grow rice, even though all that rice started in one place, but because it's been grown for 100 years in this valley with this face and the next valley over, they're actually now a little genetically different.
Sure, sure.
Even though they started out probably really close.
Yeah, that's so pretty neat.
So even though we've lost that much, they will mutate and develop their own characteristics.
Yeah, I think that's what's exciting about it. And Don Leroux from
Zephyros
was here last year and is going to be back again this year. And I think he got me enthusiastic about that there's all these varieties that we're going to gain because of that.
Yeah, and there's a seed movie I think we'll be playing it again. It was actually played here last year or the year before, and the Native American man said the seeds always remember.
Mm.
They remember. So that will be interesting to see. You know,
Should we ask you to explain yourself?
Well, I'm going to watch that movie again.
Right. Then offer opinion. All right. Okay, along with your cleaning, and you just better get cleaned up because it's right around the corner.
That's the part of the stress. Oh, God, I better start on this.
Right.
But I've kicked in.
You're still already kicking in?
Well, I not started on the pruning of the hedge growth, but
okay,
soon.
Okay, I've already
Cut up a pile of firewood for next year.
Oh, for next year, right on.
You know.
That's awesome.
So, and
and your hands are clean, so I guess it's when we start seeing your hands get dirty that we'll really know.
Well, it's cold out there.
Yeah.
You got to wear gloves.
You got to wear gloves. Okay.
You know.
All right. 527-4868-866 KBNF now. Your raisins are finally dry.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. That air drying, leave them on the clusters. I took them off the clusters.
Oh, you left them on the clusters.
Oh, yeah. I left them in clusters. I found that out by chance. I just pick them and put them in flats. By chance, one year, I couldn't get to these grapes. They were in this flat, and I couldn't get to them to dry them, pick them off. And I just left them. Well, let's see what happens.
Uh-huh.
And no heat, no mess or nothing. I just left them there. And, you know, almost 2 months later, they were dry.
Oh,
with
nice.
No work,
uh-huh.
Except for getting them off the stem.
That's great discovery that day. Brought.
And no energy, no fan, no heat,
nice.
No nothing.
No dehydrator.
And, and the only thing I'm doing now is I rub them through my hands. This is what I do when I'm sitting there talking on the phone or listening to the radio. I rub them through my hands and the stems fall off.
Okay.
And then I pick the stems to one side and the raisins in another side. And it's, and I'll probably have I'm almost done, and I'll have 3 gallons of raisins.
Wow. And what grapes did that come from? 3 gallons.
Yeah.
Gee whiz.
Probably more, but that's just off the top of my head. Let's see. There'd be Suffolk Red. There'd be Candace.
Mm.
Reliance. And Hemrod. Hemrod's the only green grape I have. The rest are all reds or pinks.
Do you store those all separately, separate varieties?
No.
I
didn't. I didn't keep. They all look the same.
It's just all grapes.
The hemrods, I would probably, but at this point, it doesn't matter. They'll be a little bit lighter color.
Mm-hmm. That sounds delicious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Really good.
And your prune plum situation?
Yeah, the prune plums have all been taking the stems off. Again, it's the same thing. I don't leave them on clusters, but I just put them on flats.
Mm-hmm.
This is a French prune plum, prune theogen.
Yummy.
And that D or D, it's just a small D.
Okay, yeah, small D.
Yeah, a gen, A-G-E-N. And they're really good.
They're meaty.
Yeah.
They seem to have a lot of fruit and meat on it. It's
And I
like the consistency that you dried them to as well. And those were just dried.
Air dried on flats, and you have to go through them about every couple of weeks because there's a few that will start to mold.
Okay,
but not much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, considering I'm going to have 5 gallons of dried prunes, you know, and stuff, and
some collateral and damage.
Yes, and then the other thing is this is a prune plum with no heat that I'm drying with the pit in it. I'm not taking the pit out.
Okay,
I'm not cutting them or scratching them or
none
nothing.
Of that work.
No,
nice. And delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been getting into your food pit.
Yeah, the storage pit.
The storage pit. Mm-hmm. And you do that every year, and you've got 2 pits that actually are.
Yeah,
what's the difference there?
One's actually I've had that pit for 15, 20 years. And I originally dug
it. Same location.
Same location.
Everything.
The whole thing. And I actually lined it with cement blocks.
Okay.
And it's 2 feet deep. And I don't know the length. It's probably 2 feet wide.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't recall the length. I think it's six bales, straw bales laying on their sides.
Okay. That's
how the length
pretty long.
Yeah. And I put sand in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then I layer in the vegetables. So right now there's carrots, beets, kohlrabi, daikon, radish, the white one, and the round black Spanish radish.
Mm.
And then I put sand on top of that, about four, no, probably more like 6 inches of sand on top of that. And then I wet that sand down.
Oh, you wet it.
And
okay.
That's the humidity
uh-huh.
for that. And that just by chance, I've another... If you're paying attention, that pit, because it's a little deeper than mm-hmm. the other one, the trench out in the garden,
mm-hmm.
it starts to, what do I say, things start to sprout in it sooner. So I eat the stuff out of that one first.
Okay.
And then
the first pit.
Yeah, and then the trench out in the garden is only at best 12 inches deep, and it's 13 or maybe 16 inches wide.
Okay.
And it's whatever length you want.
Okay.
Mine is, I think, 13 feet long.
Okay, that's still pretty big.
And then I lined that with straw.
Okay.
And it's a straw from my grain that I grew.
Oh, okay.
In fact, that mm-hmm. was the straw from rye that I
okay.
grew the rye.
Okay, very cool.
And then I lined that again with the beets and carrots and all those things.
Same thing.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm. Why the trench and the pit?
Just different techniques.
Okay.
And I had that pit was dug for a cabbage storage.
Mm, okay.
And it didn't work as well as I thought it would be.
Okay.
And I have another whole system for cabbage.
Mm-hmm. So you eat out of the pit first and then to the trench?
Then to the trench. And once all the vegetables were in there, put straw on it, then I cover it with the dirt, then the bales, and what the trick is, though, is you need to put some type of waterproofing on top of the bales. Because if the snow melts or if it gets rain and stuff, it freezes those bales solid into the ground.
Oh, right. You can't pull them out there.
There's plenty of old corrugated roofing steel around.
Oh, uh-huh.
And it doesn't matter if there's a few holes, the old nail holes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just put those on there.
On top of the hay bales.
On top of the, and you can use plastic. This is where you can use plastic. You, mm-hmm. I won't use plastic for frost protection, but to keep the water off the bales,
mm-hmm.
you can do that. And then every 2 weeks or so, I'll get into that.
Okay.
Yeah. And at one end is the biennial root crops that I'm going to plant out for seed next year.
Okay. So you've got a storage section
yeah.
of what you're planting
out. Yeah, at the
out.
One end. And I have mm-hmm. stakes. I've got it marked.
Mm-hmm.
And so that it doesn't get mixed up.
And is it your plan to go through all of that food in the off season and have the pit empty for next year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it will. You probably come pretty close to that, or?
I've never finished it all off.
Never finished it
all off. I always have way more than I need. So in March, that's when it, you know.
Sure. It's kind of nice.
Get it out and, you know, give it to people.
Mm-hmm. And some good stuff in there. And these are all pretty much cold hardy
type of winter. It's, you know, making soups, or
right.
grated salads, that kind of stuff.
Right. Good yeah. things to grow in a cold mm-hmm. climate, mm-hmm. too.
And, you know, these root crops, if you get into the food and nutrition, what they don't talk about in nutrition is the, the constitution
mm-hmm.
of food.
Okay.
And, people don't like me to say this. Tropical fruit makes you cold.
Okay.
It cools you down.
Okay.
And root crops or grains and stuff warm you up.
Okay.
So we're really doing a disservice to be eating tropical fruit in the wintertime.
Sure. You know? That whole thing of...
Yeah. Yeah. But anyways,
not really.
Root crops, especially cold season, root crops actually warm you up.
Okay.
You know?
Sure. I can... That makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the comfort food
yeah.
label,
yeah.
probably.
You know, and we all do a little bit of different things, you know, during the wintertime that we really mm-hmm. shouldn't, but we just enjoy it.
Right, you know? Right. And it used to be your body just craved this stuff right here. Mm-hmm. Convenience mm-hmm. of food.
Yeah.
All right, we have time for a quick call.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyways, but I'll just mention the cabbage again.
Yeah.
The cabbage is in the fall, sometime in late October, early November, I will dig it up, roots and all.
Okay.
Knock all the dirt off, take off all the really big leaves, and I actually put them in buckets, those 5 gallon planting buckets
this
of sand.
This is sand storage.
And I back up just a little bit.
Okay.
If you put sand in a bucket, they're just going to, like that, the sand's going to run out those big holes.
Okay.
So I actually put a plastic down there.
Okay,
so
at the bottom.
So it won't go out those holes. And then I put the roots in there and fill it up with sand, and then I water those.
Again, the water being the humidity moisture, like moisture, in your trench.
And those are stored in my garden room. And if it's warm, I open up the windows. And if it's cold, I keep them closed.
Okay.
So I'm paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're covered because if you left them out in the light, they'll start growing.
And about how much cold can they actually stand?
Oh, probably down to 28, 27.
Oh, that's
yeah, they're
pretty
quite
chilly.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're covered. And I still have, I think I just counted 17 heads, both green and red.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. And you can look for cabbage in the catalogs and then say great for storage.
Okay.
So I'm growing Danish ballhead, mammoth red rock. Those are two pretty simple, and seed is easily available. You know, I've grown them out for seed, but mm-hmm. that's a whole other project and stuff. And there's other ones. They say late flat Dutch is a good store. It really isn't. It will store for a month or so.
Okay.
Yeah, but it will start to go bad.
All right. So that's something to watch for in the seed catalogs, is you want to be able to store it, for goodness sakes.
Yeah. Anything. Mm-hmm. That says for your fall eating, look for good storage. You know, onions, carrots. There's even carrots that store better. That scarlet keeper,
right?
That will stay hard clear into May, June in good storage.
Okay, and you've kind of figured that out over the years, and mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. The nice thing about having the winter is to what worked for your garden last year, what didn't, what did you eat, what didn't you eat.
Yeah.
Some tricks like that.
Yeah. The round black Spanish, I realize I don't eat. Uh-huh. I have a friend in Gunnison. She really likes to make a spicy soup out of them.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
And then you can put some sour cream or miso. It's like a miso type soup.
Mm-hmm.
But I realize I don't really like hot and spicy.
You're not a hot and spicy.
So anyways, that's...
You're a popcorn kind of guy. I think we need to get this... amaranth popping figured out. That may be quite
be
the
fun.
gourmet thing.
I might go home and try.
All right.
I'll let you know.
Be careful.
Just a little bit, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, Lance, it's great to have you back. Really excited about the season 2019. And what you got there? Oh, yeah, because we've got all kinds of seed-saving stuff coming up, including next week. Sarah Pope Smith
mm-hmm.
from the Delta County Libraries down there at the Hotchkiss Seed Library is going to be here. And that is always fun to talk with her, see what's going on with the library and the amazing program they have there. And, of course, you'll be back. And
I'll be here pretty much till I think I'm going to be gone 2 weeks in March.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
so
we'll have fun.
We will listen or see you again next Tuesday, 6:30, for As the Worm Turns. Thanks for listening to KVNF.
Okay. Yeah, have a good evening.
Good night.